So our next speaker is Andrea Boyd. Andrea Boyd works in mission control for the International Space Station, pretty cool, the only Australian ISS flight controller on Earth. With over a decade in automation, mining and space, she's worked for FIFO Mechatronics Specialist Underground, certified as an ISS engineer for payload control and cross-certified in later years for crew operations, serving in the European Space Agency's Human Space Flight and Robotic Exploration Directorate. She's also founded a paid internship for students to support the UN Office for Outer Space Affairs, and she now supports the Aerospace Futures, which she co-founded, a premier Australian space careers conference. Please welcome Andrea to the stage.
All right, so I'm going to give you an agency perspective. I do not represent anyone. I'm very opinionated, and you're going to get my opinions. Don't put them back on my employer or my clients. So day-to-day Australian life, as you've heard, we use satellites for everything. Integrated into our day-to-day life, Australia would not function without satellites. You couldn't even use an ATM, do banking transactions, get the surf report, do any of the environmental monitoring, and GPS, of course, is totally essential to our life, as well as, when I was doing FIFO mining, as soon as we went off-site, our only things were satellite phones and satellite comms. So it is a major, major part of Australian life, especially because, as Andrew said, we're 1/6 of the Earth's landmass. How are you going to monitor that? You're going to get a plane and fly it across all of Australia and Antarctica and our oceans and territories every single day? No, you could have like one or two satellites and you're done. But we don't have any. So we currently pay an enormous amount of money to buy that data from other countries. And if the American government, which is our main supplier that we give all the money to buy their data, has a government sequestration, for example, like they've had a few in recent years, we suddenly are in the blind. And the last time that happened was smack bang in the middle of bushfire season. So these are all the space agencies currently operating around the world. If you consider those countries, you consider their GDPs, look at Australia in comparison to that, there's no reason why we shouldn't be there. And you go into that, and as I said, if you look at the GDP and the current developed nations and technology status, we really, really should be up there. These are the OECD countries. So this is... collaboration, you can Google OECD and see what that stands for. It's mostly economic stuff. These are all the OECD countries that do have a space agency, and this is the OECD country without a space agency. This is the New Zealand Space Agency, as you heard. They decided in 2016 to found one. 3 months later, they did, and you saw they had an extremely good rocket launch yesterday. So I'm going to give you a bit of context of Australia, why we don't have an agency right now. I will give you a link at the end that has a full history so you can look into that more. But in the 40s, WOMA was established. This was primarily in response to the threats of the V2 rockets. So there's a bit of an Anglo thing that happened in WOMA for that. In 64, NASA wanted a deep space tracking station, established Chipambilla out of Canberra. In 67, we launched our first satellite, ReSat. And then also there was an American spy base that was established nearby to Woomera. That's been totally stripped and moved to Pine Gap, which is still currently operating super secret golf balls. And then we did have, of course, the Melbourne satellite that was mentioned earlier too, OSCAR, that was launched in 1970. The final launch from Woomera was in 1971. That is, everyone still talks about it as a space site. It's not. It's a defence site. We haven't launched anything from there to space since 71. So, it's long before several of us were born. Sorry. In the 80s, we did have an Australian Space Office. It was quite good. They had the technical competence. Unfortunately, they didn't have the long-term budget. They didn't have a sustainability that crossed over change of government. And... unfortunately, just the structure and the way that it was set up, they had really good people but weren't able to sustain that. Now, you'll see a few little symbols that I've put on the other side. That's not related to the bullet points unless I've put it over the bullet point. And for political correctness, because this is being recorded, these are various scams that the government was burnt with very badly. So you've got to understand from the government perspective, this is also why they don't necessarily like space sometimes, is because they don't have the technical competence and they can't tell the difference between scams and actual projects. And when they get burnt, it can be quite expensive. So where I've put the little explosions is where we did get burnt pretty badly. In the 90s, we also had about like 7 launch companies that were all going to launch out of Australia, and by 99, they were all bankrupt. In the 90s, we had the Optus satellites happening, but as you saw before, every single satellite is always built by the US. So Australia just foots the bill. If we need repairs or anything to those, we do need to just keep paying the US to do that, even though we do have the Ops centres in Sydney for those. In 92, we had an expert panel, which resulted in the Space Council Act of 1994. That was repealed in 1999 when everything else went belly up as well. In 1996, the Australian Space Office got cancelled. The Space Activities Act was made in 1998. It's not very good. It's very restrictive. So it's been a bit more of a hindrance, to be honest, since then. But we did also have the CRC for satellite systems that's still going very strong. That was established in the same year. And we also hosted the ISC in Melbourne. So you can see because of the ISC that we had in Melbourne, we had a lot of things happening in that year. And we're seeing similar things this year as well. As a supplement, the Space Activities Regulation came out in 2001, and I put the disaster on that because it was somebody got $101 million to build a spaceport and built a casino instead. And in 2002, we accidentally built our own satellite again because the companies that were doing it for us overseas went bankrupt. So we took over it, and the Australian engineers were amazing, and they got fed set up there. So ESA opened the New Norcia Deep Tracking Station in 2003. There was another thing that happened in between. And then this was really good. The SPAG group was great in 2005, and that resulted in the Space Centre inquiry, which was really key because that resulted in what was almost a space agency. It was a pool of money, $40 million over 4 years, that was available for space programs in Australia. Unfortunately, you've got to have all of the components. So this one didn't necessarily have the technical oversight, but it had the money, and it did result in some things, but again, it wasn't sustainable, and it wasn't an agency. We did have the Hayabusa landing, as you saw before, from JAXA in 2010. I was actually there on site, so I went out, it was like 1 a.m, I went out with the Australian government and the army, and it was like 2 news cameras, 1 truckie that got pulled up at the roadblock because he didn't know it was happening, so he got to watch the landing with us, and JAXA and a few others. It was amazing, actually, because it landed so late at night. We were a bit worried because it was clouds during the day, and then they all cleared up, and it was just, we turned off all the lights about 10 minutes before, and it came in exactly on target, exactly on angle, and pitch black, perfect view of the Milky Way, and then re-entry of Hayabusa, it just lit up the whole desert night sky. It was the most incredible, incredible view. So hopefully we do get that again in 2020, Hayabusa 2. As Peter mentioned, our bid process, we started a very long time ago. So we started in 2010 to start to bid for the ISC. There was another thing that happened after that, but different scammer. 2011, the ACMA actually asked the European Space Agency, can they please just move their entire ground tracking station, which unfortunately just... No, I have to be politically correct. So it wasn't a very good request. Obviously, you can't just move an entire tracking station 300 kilometres. That's not very practical. And then we did get the principles for the National Space... So we do have a space policy, as was mentioned, that came out in 2013, and that took us a while to get there. So there's all these things that lead up to that. The AITC is an amazing facility that can process satellites that was established in the same year. QB50 work started about 6 years ago. We won half of the SKA, the Square Kilometre Array, and then we finally did have our policy. And there are a lot of reasons why the policy is how it is, because we would not have gotten it out had we tried to put extra things like manufacturing in that and there. The climate was not there politically at the time. We won the ISC. Michael and I presented that along with all the other guys in 2014. It was a big effort. We beat out Germany and the USA. Pretty amazing. NBN was launched in 2015. That was launched, as you saw, so we paid $2 billion to the US to make the satellite for us. We paid $900 million to Ariane to launch it. There were 2 satellites on that launch from French Guiana. One was Argentinian, one was Australian, both broadband internet, about the same capabilities. The Argentinian one, 100% Argentinian, designed, built, owned and operated, and they've got a fifth of our GDP. There's no reason why Australia can't do our own as well. Ton of stuff that... you can read that... has culminated in the last few years, we're at a really, really good position now. And I can't say a lot of things, but we are doing a lot of work in the background to address things that Peter said are missing and that the white paper presents that need to be done before the end of this year. I would refer you to this website. So quite a few of us that work overseas as expats got sick of answering all the same questions. So we put the entire history of Australia in detail with all the politically incorrect everything that happened as well. So you got the full context of the history, a list of all of the space sites in Australia, a list of all of the space organisations, all of the space events, all of the space degrees that you can do, how you can write to the ministers, the current policies, all the expats that work overseas if you're interested in doing something like we do. So go to that, and that's a massive resource. So as you saw, the past attempts, we were sort of a bit ad hoc in the 50s and 60s. We did have the Australian Space Office. We had the Australian Space Research Program briefly. But we do remain 100% import space economy. We're fully dependent on everybody else, and the satellites that we do have are US built. Now, for those of you know, when you're overseas and you are, you know, all the other space agencies that you saw, if they want to come and talk to Australia, who are they going to call? So these are it's kind of a hidden department within civil space. It's in the Department of Industry, Innovation and Science. It's under industry. And this is currently the Space Coordination Office. And I've only put the last, 15 years of what it was called and where it was under. But you can imagine the confusion of overseas space agencies. They don't have a head of a space agency they can simply call to do stuff. They had to figure out who to call and where to go, and it was quite complicated. These are the people that currently pay for space in the federal government and the state government. So we have 17 different departments and agencies that pay for different satellite data, not to mention the GIS expenditures that are done by the state government as well. So the civilian cost per year, it's hard to estimate because it's spread out so much, but it could be much less if we actually did have the agency to coordinate that all together. And why now? As you've heard, it's a lot cheaper now, and not just like Star Trek space nerds like us are seeing it. You're talking VCs that are looking at only the business case as well. And the investment in 2015 alone was the equivalent of the last 10 years combined. That shows you how much the cost has been reduced. So an Australian space agency could very, very easily, if we started it this year, turn into at least 5,000 new jobs and annual exports, so turning our 100% import space economy into an export space economy by 2025. The budget is not that much. These are the budgets of the major companies, countries that do space stuff, and Australia's full budget to do everything that we said would only need to be down there. Tons of benefits. You can read through all of those. And it's not about, you know, astronauts and going to Mars. So that is what I work on as a day job. It is pretty cool, but that's not what's going to benefit Australia. So for us, our interest is doing things cheaper, better and more effectively using satellites, and we can do that right now. The space agency role, so a space agency is the implementation arm of a nation's space policy. Sets the national priorities, and it also has the formal, so legally you must have a space agency to do these sort of international agreements, and that's where we don't have to build everything and spend billions doing it ourselves. Other nations have it. There's a ton of goodwill towards Australia, and I can tell you at least three major space agencies are ready to do agreements with an Australian space agency right now. So the measure of success, create it. It needs to have authority, mandate, technical competence, a five-year budget, and 10-year international agreements, and that's how you survive the change of government, by making international consequences if you try and kick it out or change names or whatever every time we have a change of government, which has been issues in the past. So now is absolutely the time. Everybody's coming for the Space Olympics. We can tap into the global supply sector. We've got the overseas guys ready. They're waiting for us to be ready to reply, and it needs to be a federal space agency to make that happen. And I would be happy to answer questions more bluntly as well when the camera's off. So feel free to ask those later.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrea. Thanks so much.